Welcome to House Talk on News Radio WHAM 1180. This show is a weekly conversation about all the things you should know when buying, selling, or maintaining your home. Join in with your comments or questions. Call or text 222-1180 or 800-295-1180. Now, live from the News Radio WHAM 1180 studios in downtown Rochester, here are your hosts, Jeff Schofield, Mike Reed, and Andrew Schwert.
Welcome back, folks. This is Jeff Schofield with RE/MAX Plus.
Mike Reed with All County Home Inspections.
Andrew Schwert with Premium Mortgage.
And as always, we usually give you a little bit of overview. I think everybody probably knows this is our hottest market, you know, for the entire year right now. Did some research, which took me hours and hours. We had 186 properties listed last week.
So you couple that with the 120 or 30 that were 2 weeks ago, 100 and what was it last week? 100 and
I did. I actually
60 or something like that. I mean, we're looking at 400 plus houses in the last month.
But which is still
down. 3 weeks.
I mean, that's what still makes it a seller's market, because typically year after year, we sell about 10,000 homes in the greater Rochester area. So you do the math, you got, well, let's say slightly under 800 homes being listed a month, you know.
Still competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, for buyers, still very competitive.
But it's super competitive. It's funny, we are always about 2 weeks behind the listings. And my office manager, Bobby, was off on Friday working for a volunteer thing, and Todd's on vacation, and I got to man the phones, and now I remember why I pay Bobby. Oh, my word. Oh, I literally didn't get off the phone on Friday. It just went on and on, and I booked like 9 inspections on Friday, and I've seen her book 10 or 11 or 12. I don't know how she does it.
When I leave town, if I have to go to an all-day seminar or something and I can't be answering the phone, I'll forward my phone to one of my administrative people, usually Joy, that everybody knows. And, you know, by the time I get ready, she's about ready to pull her hair out of her head.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
Everybody's got my cell phone number, so it's constant. Yeah.
And it's just we used to be that way. The 4001 number was my cell phone number, so I still get family that calls me on that, calls the office sometimes. It's nice when my brother sends texts to the office because they're always really professional. The texts coming in from your brothers, it's nice Bobby gets to see those. What are you guys seeing with the mortgage industry?
Pre-approvals are still pretty high. You know, they're all day, every day. Just the contracts, again, they're picking up compared to where we were at the beginning of the year, but it's not like it was the past 2 or 3 years. That's not saying people aren't getting their offers accepted. It's just a little more competitive, might take a little bit longer for somebody to have an accepted offer on a property, but there's still activity out there. I mean, we're still writing loans, putting food on the table. Just, again, a little more competitive.
We were talking, I think, earlier in the week, we were having coffee and, you know, seeing what's it like the climate right now. And yes, it's busy, but I analyzed, you know, like this past week, I listed 3 homes. They all sold within, I think, most of them in the delayed negotiation. And then one sold like a day or two later, you know, which you see that a lot with delayed negotiations. If the price, you know, they look at it and you're asking $250,000, and they go, well, that's going to go for $400. I'm not going to bother bidding on it because I'd be willing to pay $3, but I'm not going to, you know, drive the price up to shoot myself in the foot for the next house. And then they see it doesn't sell. Then they come in and make an offer. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it happens to 2 people and you end up with competitive offers anyways. But analyzing the listings that I've been getting this year and the, you know, people that are actually selling, 80% of the sellers have a place to go or they have to sell. A lot of estate type situations, you know, which is good for them. Places where they're, you know, the owner is going into a nursing home or an assisted care or a retirement home. People that have a place to go to, they've already gone out of state and bought. Not that I want people to move out of our area, but the market is not as hot in other parts of the country. To rentals.
Yeah, I just saw and it could be one of those, you know, normal Facebook post things that are here, but it listed Rochester as the number 2 market in all of New York or all of the country. Like the Rochester market had the hottest market. And again, I don't know what stats they were drawing on. It could have been your typical, you know, Facebook post.
But, what was number 1?
Somewhere out west, the Phoenix area, suburb, something like that. Mm. It just.
Do you wonder if I wrote that?
Jeff probably wrote it. Yeah. Yeah. Just feed the beast. That's what it is.
That's right. So. I mean, driving now, you're starting to hear all the political propaganda. I just want to shoot myself or move to Canada, one of the two. I mean, it's like it's just painful to listen to, you know. And they're doing it now with infomercials. They're playing, do you want to see Social Security disappear? You know, and you're thinking, no. And then, you know, do you want to see Medicare, Medicaid disappear? You're thinking, no. And then it's like, wow, man, you need to vote for this person, you know, or help the campaign. And it's like, you know, we should probably start doing the same thing with real estate. Do you want to be homeless? Buy a house today.
Well, we were talking about analyzing things. I thought I would throw a couple numbers in there. I'm probably jumping ahead of the script here. And I'm hoping we got some agents listening out there that have houses listed. Our consultation programs that we have been doing for, you know, since the pandemic started are really beginning to move forward again and be really well accepted. So it kind of gave us the aha moment. Let's look at some stats. So far this year, we have done 65, since January 1st to today, we have done 65 consultations. I believe Terry's doing 5 today. So she's around Monroe County doing 5 consultations. And of that 5, you're like, well, what does that lead to? Of that 65, 19 people have gotten the house that we did the consultation on. And of those 19 people, 60% of them offered more than they were willing to offer before the consultation. So that fear of not being able to get a full home inspection was real. Our professionals coming, being able to look at it from a different perspective than just how nice and pretty it looks. But let's take a half an hour and look at the down and dirty of this house. And let's not forget to follow up with a full inspection once you own it. 60% of those 19 people said that they were willing to offer over $10,000 more than they were. And then now we're starting digging into the people who didn't get the house. And what we're finding is that number seems pretty true. They were willing to offer more, just someone offered a little bit more than them. And in one case, we did 4 consultations on the same house. So 3 of those people didn't get the offer, but the 4th one did. So if you're an agent out there and you're kind of dragging your feet as a listing agent saying, well, why would we allow the consultations to happen? You're getting a more educated consumer looking at your house. They're willing to purchase quicker and at a higher number. That's what our numbers are starting to ferret out. So we'll get into the weeds this year or this week on it and really start to do some market research to say, is this helping people? And to secure the house, absolutely. It's helping. So if you're a listing agent out there and you're on the fence about it, you're going to get a higher qualified offer from the people that are having someone do a consultation. So I thought I would throw that out there. I know we talked about it. I don't know where Jeff had it in his script because I don't have my glasses on in the script. I can't read it from that far away.
So. Well, you probably couldn't read my writing anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I think that conversation came up because we were talking about how things have changed in the last 3 or 4 years, some of them COVID-related, and like escalation clauses. You know, in Rochester, yes, we've had competing offers and people used to just put their best foot forward. I would love to take credit for the escalation clauses, you know, in contracts. But, you know, I jumped on board. I didn't obviously wasn't remotely the person that came up with that idea, and my hat's off to whoever did. Appraisal gap guarantees, you know, because you start. That's why, you know, cash offers in the beginning are the ones that usually get all the listings because it doesn't have to appraise out. But it sets the standard for homes later on in the year that sell where they are getting mortgages. Delayed negotiations is another one. I mean, that's, you know, great. I mean, I remember back, you know, when we first started, like the market really got hot, 2019 and 20, you know, people would sell a home in day one and then
Do we have a call coming in?
There was a caller. They asked if you could explain what consultation means in this case.
We sure can. I'm going to interrupt Jeff then. A consultation is really what our dads used to do back in the 80s. Somebody who really knows more about houses are going to show up and say, don't look at that pretty granite countertop because that's great. Let's go down to the basement and look at the structure that's in here. Let's go look at that furnace. How old is it? Is it a high efficiency furnace? Is it a lower efficiency furnace? Is it something from 1975 you got to plan on replacing soon? Is it something that is going to be around? How does the roof look from just the outside first glance without getting up into the attic space? It's really just looking at that At a larger level than a home inspection would. At home inspection, we're going to do things like take off an electrical panel cover and look inside it. I was at one yesterday, had a sticker from a great electrical company that's online, you know, that's in Rochester, said, hey, they do great work. So yes, it's been replaced. There's a couple things here that we want to look at. But you can almost be certain that when you open that panel, there's not going to be something significantly wrong with this. So you can feel safe about that. So that's what the consultations does, is that real, you know, agents have a very specific role. And that is to help you find the right house and help you sell your house. And they don't understand or know exactly what they're looking at compared to what people that have been trained in construction do. So those consultations are just that, that half an hour down and dirty look at the house. Let's see the big things that we will find, good and bad, in the house. So, and it looks like we're getting ready to head off into a break. We'll jump back into Jeff's things that I interrupted him on because of our caller. Thank you very much, caller. Give us a call, 222-1180, News Radio, WHAM 1180. House Talk on News Radio WHAM 11. I'm Mike Reed with All County Home Inspections, 585-773-4001 is our phone number at All County Home Inspections. Our number here, 222-1180 for phone calls for the radio show.
That was smooth, Mike.
Yeah. That was kind of...
I was trying not to laugh.
That was kind of disjointed there.
So continuing on, because we are all tangent kings here.
Yeah.
With the inspections, I mean, the pre-inspection is a great idea. But people have to realize you have to get the seller's and the seller's agent's approval. I mean, it's not up to the seller's agent, but you've got to go through them.
Right, and they set the tone of the event. You know, the seller's agent is going to set the tone with the seller on, is this a good idea or not? So, yeah, we don't have to technically get their approval, but you're getting their approval.
So obviously, if I get an offer accepted, it's my listing, I get an offer accepted, I'm telling the folks, look, you got a crawl space. They go through the master, you know, closet, they're going to open the panel, stick a flashlight up there. You know, if it's an open house, or not, you should never do an inspection in an open house, but if you get permission to do it, you can't go up into the crawl space.
Correct.
You can't, you know, pull the cover off the panel box to see if there's double taps.
Correct.
But give us an idea, like provide some confidence of the things that you can do.
We really only bring a flashlight with us, and we walk through it. And in the home inspection world, about 90% of what we discover comes from something else. So we look at a wall, and you see a water stain, and you say, hey, there's something going on here. As an inspector, you take those next two or three steps and you look at it. Okay, we find out the window above it is most likely leaking. That's where the water's coming from. On a consultation, we're going to say, there's a water leak over there. You have to figure out what that is. You're going to have to, that's a thing you're going to have to address when you own this house. Now, where a home inspection is going to give you that details, it's going to take you down that rabbit hole a little further to say, okay, you need a window guy, you need a siding guy, you need a roofer to find the source of this or fix the source of the moisture. We most likely found it. So that's really the big difference, is we're giving you our introductory findings that in a traditional inspection or a post-sale inspection, we dig into a little deeper and give you that detail that we don't give you at a consultation. And again, consultations are really helping people write offers that they're more comfortable with. It's a removing fear for people.
Yeah. So nice.
And really, we always, as home inspectors, we go down and we ask the question, what is the purpose of a home inspection? Why do we even have one? Well, why does it exist? Why is it part of the process? And there's really, in the pre-sale process of it, or in the sale process of it, there's really two purposes. One, help me understand what I'm buying so I can negotiate, or two, help me understand what I just put an offer announced and it's either a good offer or a bad offer, I'm going to walk away or stay. Well, in this market with, you know, 45 offers on a house, the ability to negotiate is few and far between. I mean, that's almost missing out of the process. It's either you want it or you don't, and that's where the pre-sale consultations help you decide, do I even make an offer? Do I even extend the offer? And then the ability to understand what you have comes after you own it. And now we have a path moving forward of something. And that was a choice you had to make in this market. You didn't have a choice. Well, 90% of the people didn't have a choice. But we still are doing traditional home inspections, so I won't discount them completely.
Now, this might not have been a statistic you dug into, but How many people that have done the pre-inspection do you think opted out? Going, you know, that's too big an unknown.
We have had probably, I don't have the hard numbers on it. That's coming up next. I know of five that have said that to us. Five or maybe six. Six that have flat out said, we just decided there was too much we didn't want to deal with. So that was also very, very helpful.
Well, going back to our, you know, what things have changed recently, like cash. Mm-hmm. Cash offers. You know, it was only the privileged few in years past that would write cash offers. And, you know, a lot of times somebody might be asking $400,000 for a house and they come in with an offer of $350,000 and say, well, it's cash. You know, well, your competition's paying 4.25% and they're getting a mortgage. And I don't really care if I have to wait for the bank's money or your money. But now, if you got competing offers, especially early on in the season, you know, cash is king. And what we're seeing is people are begging, borrowing, and stealing from friends and relatives to have cash in their accounts. And it doesn't matter where it comes from. They can borrow it, offer a promise to pay. We just care about, the seller just cares about, show me the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the bank doesn't need
appraisal.
To source any. Yeah,
there is no appraisal, so you don't have to track it.
Exactly.
People that do mortgages, you know what I see now is if an offer comes in and somebody's putting 20% down, a pre-approval, pre-qualification, we kind of use them synonymously in our mm-hmm. market.
Yep.
But they also provide proof of funds for the down payment.
I've been hearing that a little bit more, I was unaware of it. And actually, until about 2 weeks ago, someone said, yeah, the sellers want to see the bank statements of our buyers to prove that they can put 20% down. Again, first time I'm hearing it, but I can imagine some people were putting on the contract there was going to be a 20% down payment. And when they go to get their mortgage, that's not the case. You know, so there could have been some misinformation on a contract that led to the seller's agent asking, well, let me see the funds in the account to prove you're putting 20% down.
And somebody had, going back to the cash guarantee, mm-hmm. that puts you in a very, very competitive, you know, obviously you can't do it if you're financing 95% of the property,
right?
But if you've got at least 20%.
Yeah. So the 20% is, we're looking for the deposit, the initial earnest money deposit of 20% up front. Usually that's good enough, that deposit, to cover 15% down payment on the house, plus all your closing costs. You don't need to show up to closing with another dime if you don't want to. Now, let's say you give us that 20% earnest money deposit, though, and we hold it initially. You could still say, hey, I don't want to use all 20% of that. I still want to only put 5% down on the house. If you go to closing and there's additional funds from that deposit left over, we'll give you the money back. So it's initially just to hold it to make sure you're that 20%, to make sure you're serious about the offer. Make sure, hey, all right, yep, we're going to use the cash guarantee. We're putting our name behind you for the cash. But if you don't want to use that full 20% deposit, you don't have to. You can still put minimum down.
And I noticed that, you know, I think Mike Donahue, one of the owners of Premium Mortgage, had posted an article or somebody had online about the number of properties they bought in the last 2 years. You know,
how many did he say?
I think it was like five.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not a high number.
No, but one of those, you know, was from my team. You know, sold it and he ended up having to step in and buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so there's other lenders out there that are saying, yep, we got a cash guarantee, et cetera. You know, same thing. Other lenders don't always buy the house. They'll try and restructure a loan, put it into a portfolio. You know, sometimes the deal dies even when it does say cash guarantee on it. Mike's cash guarantee is legitimate. I mean, this guy will actually step in and buy a house if the mortgage falls through because somebody loses their job or goes and opens up a car loan when we tell him not to. But he will step in and actually buy a house. And 5 in 2 years is actually pretty good considering how many cash guarantees we give out.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming the new gold standard. It's almost like the new pre-approval letter too. That cash guarantee letter from us.
That's a statistic you guys should probably follow up on, like how many people, what percentage of people lose the deals that do the cash guarantee. And I'd say that, you know, it's probably 90% of the time if they get, you know, if they don't get the deal, it's because somebody came in offering, you know, a $400,000 down payment on a $350 house or a deposit.
Right. It's just, yeah.
You know, they're just comparing it to cash.
Yep.
Mike and I were having a conversation this past week, though, about all these workarounds that we've come up with, you know, proof of funds, the verification of this, escalation clauses. There's still the people that want to have it subject to an inspection. We really haven't found a way around that. It's not like, you know, if you bid $10,000 over any other higher offer, but yours is subject to an inspection, I think the culture is they're going to give it a thumbs down because you don't know what's there. I mean, $10,000 would be an extreme. And it looks like we're headed into another break. Get on the phone, call us at 222-1180.
Okay, welcome back to News Radio Wham 1180, House Talk. I had to take a remedial class on how to speak on the radio during that last commercial break. These guys are making fun of me the way I messed up our phone number. The phone number here is 222-1180, so give us a call with your calls. And I also had to give a shout-out to my brother Rob, who had to send a smart aleck comment to the text line about sending family text to the 4001 number at All County Home Inspection. So thanks a lot, Rob. At least I know you're listening.
Mike, one of the conversations we had, people think we don't work, we just have coffee and shoot the breeze. But one of the conversations we had was getting an offer accepted with an inspection contingency. And a lot of agents don't want to risk, rocking the boat. You know, the offer might be $2,000-$3,000 more, but if they find out that there's mildew or mold in the attic, that could eat up that $3,000. Is it worth going through opening Pandora's box? And also, is it worth, I had a deal where buyer A went through remorse and they were neck and neck with buyer B. I call buyer B and they go, well, they put an offer on another house. But you had a solution that you're doing now, and that is enabling somebody to say, okay, we're competing, we'll subject to an inspection, we'll have it done within 3 hours of you accepting our offer. So you can know that we signed off on that before you notify offers 2 through whatever, 20, that you accepted an offer. Can you explain that?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of same day inspections. So seller puts in an offer contingent on an inspection. It is at the top of the list. It financially makes sense for the seller to accept that offer, but they have that fear of the inspection. So what the deal is it's a confidential inspection between the buyer and the buyer's agent only. We do not share any of that information with the seller's agent or the seller. Most of the time, they're not even present when we do the inspection, and that allows them to not get caught into that, we now found something out that we didn't know when we listed the house, and we have to disclose it. And we have to change things based on the way that we are, the way we're structured. And it just became a big ball of yarn that, just got pulled tight. And these same-day inspections that are confidential and the information's not shared allows the seller to simply walk away. That's it. The buyer. The buyer says, I'm done. I'm walking away. It's not the right house for me. That's all they say. And I think we have 3 of those scheduled for this week. But we did Friday. I think it was Friday. We did one where someone called and said, can you be here? And we did. We jumped in the car, sent Terry over. She took off across town. I drove out to Buffalo to do one like that just the other day. So it is out there. There are options to get home inspections. You just have to think differently than what we did before this market changed. And it looks like we have a phone call coming in.
Yes, you have Tom on the line.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Yes, hi. Thanks. So here's my question. This was over 20 years ago now. We had a crawl space, and there was water coming in off the crawl space. Water was, being pushed up by, I guess, hydrostatic pressure. And so we had a French drain put in around that crawl space, and it worked very effectively. The problem is, it drains all the water into the stack, the sewer stack, the sewer pipe. And I'm wondering, this is in the Brighton town, is that to code, or does that have to be somehow routed into a different direction away from the sewer?
Yeah,
your name's now Bob, not Tom, but, and don't
Bob,
mention your address.
Yeah, and he lives in Penfield. The 20 years ago, you would have gotten away with it. Today, no. And the reason for that is we're overwhelming our sewer system with stormwater. Stormwater basically is relatively clean. It's a little dirty, probably has some bacteria, some things like that in it, but it's no different than a mud puddle outside. So right. What we want to do is let that just leach into the earth and go back into Mother Nature and not have to go back into our sewer treatment processing plant. And if you think about the thousands of gallons of water that are being produced underground and then being put into our sewer system, it really is taxing those systems. So the answer to your question is 20 years ago, you're okay. Today, you're not okay. If you sell the house, an inspector would probably make note that you would need to correct that.
Okay. It turns out we do have a floor drain on the other side of the house that does take in stormwater. I can even see it flowing in occasionally. So if we redirected that French drain to drain into the floor drain, that would be okay. Is that right?
Yes. If that floor drain just directly drains back into the earth or out to daylight, not into the storm sewers or into the sanitary sewers.
Right.
It should drain into the storm sewers.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And that is a big problem in Brighton.
Yeah, it's an arondicoid issue too. Parts of Greece, and I think it's a term I made up, but it may have existed before me. Is the inner ring suburbs. So when Rochester proper was built, we have these suburbs that came up first, the closest to the city, the arondicoids, parts of Greece and Brighton, and we built things differently. Now, Pittsford, Fairports, Victor's, Hilton's, they all are building to a different standard than these original inner ring suburbs.
Yeah, so we'll just have to get the PVC pipe routed to that floor drain, I guess. That should fix the problem.
Yeah, Mike, you probably know a contracting company that could help with that.
I got a couple people that could help you out if you want to either shoot a text or an email to us or give us a call on our phone number at 585-773-4001, and you'll either get Bobby or our voicemail. And just let us know that you're looking for somebody. And if it's not something that my property division can handle, then I've got a couple contractors we could send your direction if you're looking for work.
Great. I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate your call.
Right. Bye.
Now, one of the other things we were talking about this past week was technologies. It's kind of amazing the stuff that's happened recently. One of them is people buying homes sight unseen. Now, that's been going on, I guess. I took a continuing education class in Fort Lauderdale, probably 10, 12 years ago. And they were saying, I just can't get over selling someone a house they've never seen. And I thought, that'd never happen in Rochester. I bet we did it 12 times last year. The first time they come up to see the house is for the final walkthrough.
Yeah.
These are relocation people, and they're probably not, I think other parts of the country, they move more than once every 7 to 10 years like we do here. But that's just Zoom. We sell a lot of FaceTime with iPhones or Zoom calls. I don't know. You probably aren't doing inspections by Zoom yet.
We don't do inspections, but we certainly do the review. People who haven't been in town, they're traveling. They are coming from another city. We do the full inspection review, and we will take people down to physically show them things, via Zoom or FaceTime, and say, hey, this electrical panel, when you read the report, it's going to say this, but it's easier to see it. Let me show this to you and then reference the report. So we do. That's something that really started at the beginning of the pandemic, and it's held on, and it works really well.
So, and not all technology is a good thing. We've got, which I say this is a very good thing, is the electronic signatures, AuthentiSign.
Oh, yeah.
Now you don't have to, you have a price reduction on a property. Remember, we used to have those. But, you'd have to meet with the person, have them sign a paper, and then bring it back and process it. Now we can sign purchase offers remotely, listing contracts, any changes, addendums.
Yeah, mortgage stuff, too. Saves us like an hour and a half per client. It's great, yeah. DocuSign, send it out.
And then, now an offer, I don't know if you guys remember in the day, and it wasn't the day, it was probably 5-7 years ago, you'd have an offer or multiple offers on a property. You'd all go to the person's house or go to the real estate, the listing agent's office. You'd have all these agents sitting around waiting for their opportunity to present their offer. Now, last week I had 10 offers on one listing, and I had them all in a spreadsheet, and I just call up the clients and we go over them. And so it's much more efficient. I don't think you gain a lot, other than have to listen to people's verbals, love letters that, we can't write anymore. But, so it's much more efficient. But the downside is you lose that. The whole process is becoming more transactional, and you lose the human relation element in it. you know, there's clients where I would be over at their house, you know, 5-6 times to meet with them about various things. And now it's all done on phone, you know. I mean, we don't even Zoom call that much anymore.
Yeah. I don't know what 95% of my clients look like. You know, everything's over the phone, like you said, everything. Yeah. And then we send out everything electronically for signatures.
Well, I think the funny part about all the technology is we're losing that piece to it. It's made us more efficient. And the whole purpose to be more efficient is so we could enjoy our lives more. And all we do is work more now. Like an example of that is, I mean, I just got a text somebody looking for a consultation for Monday morning at 8:30 in the morning. It's Sunday at what? And one of my inspectors, Terry, who monitors that same text line with us, responded, I can do 8:30 or 9 in the morning. So in the last 15 minutes, technology took something that would have taken an hour and a half for us. So we're heading out to break. Give us a call when we come back at 222-1180.
Welcome back to House Talk on News Radio WHAM 1180. Talking a little bit about technology, how it's changed throughout the course of the last couple of years with COVID. Jeff and I were just talking. Technology allows us to do more transactions quickly because we don't have to actually meet. Well, at least on my side, I don't have to meet with somebody. I can get the documents out and kind of move on to the next one. Same thing with inspections. Listings. How do you guys feel about that too?
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that we see from I operate a team. I've got agents that work primarily with buyers. They also take listings. I pretty much just work with, you know, listings. I've got a couple select friend buyers that I help out, you know, that I work with. But it used to be you'd list a home, you'd put it in the paper. Anybody who was interested, they'd see it in the paper. Or there might, you know, they might get mailed the thing. But you, as a listing agent, you'd get a calls on that listing. Now with the technology and the internet, you know, I mean, I advertise my homes on over 600 different websites, and I may or may not, even though it's my listing, I may or may not get that lead, because you know, one of the advantages I can, you know, I'm Remax, but I can list my properties that I list for sale on Howard Hanna, on, you know, Keller Williams, Coldwell Banker, you know, Hunt Real Estate. I mean, and again, 600 others, but it's not going to come to me. It's going to go to a Hunt agent or a Keller Williams agent. And, you know, yes, I do care a little bit because I'd rather they could deal with me directly. They might care a lot of buyers do want to work with the listing agent directly. But, you know, if I have the opportunity to be on 600 websites, I'm not going to exclude it.
Yeah, it just becomes that volume versus quality versus, you know, the amount of hours you want to put in a day. I mean, you're fielding an awful lot of phone calls on 600 websites, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're fielding a lot of emails. And
yeah. Yep.
We did have a caller. Somebody called in, and her question, which we're probably not qualified to answer specifically for Long Island, but she has a home in Long Island she's getting ready to sell. I guess our reach is a little bit bigger than what I thought it was. And asking, should she have an inspection? And this is going to be like, you know, Dan Aykroyd and Saturday Night Live, you know, point and counterpoint here, because Mike and my opinions are going to vary. Should she have an inspection before she put it on the market? Mike, of course, says yes. And I'm not even going to say no for Long Island. I'm going to say consult with whoever she's going to use to sell the house. Because if the market's like here, I say, you know, probably you don't need to, you know, just provide you with stuff you need to disclose. But Mike, give us your.
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly the right answer. What's happening in your market? If that market in Long Island is anything like here's, like it is here, I don't know. I'm having a hard time seeing the advantage of that listing inspection, unless there's some things that you know are wrong with the house and you just need to be able to provide some specific information. If you know you have an issue with a leaky roof, you might want to be able to say, yeah, it's leaking around the chimney versus I have a leaky roof. Those types of things, because the home inspection just gives you detail. That's what all a home inspection does, is gives you that detail. And now you have to disclose that detail. But there are other people who would say, you know what? You should just disclose it so you sleep better at night. There's a lot of emotion around when you're selling your house too. So, again, I always say, yeah, get a home inspection. It's just easier for $400. You now know what you can and can't. And the other argument is, if the market's like it here is in Rochester, who cares? You now disclose it and say, I'm selling it anyways. These are all the things that are wrong with it. Yeah, I got mold in the attic. Somebody's going to still buy it. They don't care. And so you now just have removed that phone call when somebody has buyer's remorse 3 months from now and they go in the attic to put Christmas decorations away and they find mold and they turn around and say, you didn't tell me. You didn't disclose it. There's nothing they can do about it other than make your life miserable with bad phone calls and emails and texts. But, you know, at least you've insulated yourself from that possibility. So, and Jeff's going to tell me I'm crazy.
No, I just remember that Dan Aykroyd skit, and I'm going to keep it clean, and we're not going to do that. But probably date myself with that.
Yeah.
We had talked last week about a home that I had listed that had severe water leakage, water in the basement, mold and mildew, had not been tested, you know, but I mean, you can walk in and your throat closes up, so you know, yeah, there's some mold here. What do you, you know, and I mean, we got into this a little bit, but so you can see you've got mold. There's a hole where water's been leaking through, so you tear it open, you pull out stuff that with mold, or you have somebody, a licensed mold mitigator, you know, but what do you do? Like, you look at a wall, you don't see any mold. How do you know? You know, do you have air sampling? Do you just have to rip open holes periodically just to see? How do you test that?
Yeah, there are ways that you can test it. You know, let's say you go into a house and you don't see the mold, but we all smell it. You're like, there is mold here. You know, we all know what mold smells like. There are air sampling devices that can be put in different rooms or different locations around the house with a base sample outside. And it lets you compare what's going on in the general environment outdoors to what's going on in specific areas of the house. And it just is like a doctor. It's a differential diagnosis. We're going to say, well, this room has some mold spores, but this room has a lot. And that one, wow, that's crazy. Well, that's probably the source of the mold. And at that place, you start tearing out that room. And you say, okay, here, we think we found it. You go through the proper remediation steps. You give it time. You run air scrubbers and negative air pressure so mold spores don't spread to the rest of the house. Once the remediation is done, you test again. And that will tell you, yep, we got rid of the source of the mold, or no, we didn't, because the mold spores floating in the air are what you're picking up. So definitely air sampling works to help you isolate the place mold would be growing. Kind of steers the inspector in the right direction.
And I think you mentioned this last time, but you know, everybody go, not everybody, but a lot of people go down in their basement and they go, oh, there's some mold down in the corner. You know, we've talked about it's probably gutters that aren't diverting water away, or the ground needs to be built up. But what is the rule? Like, what can a homeowner do? And well, I apologize. I think you hit on this, but I got to ask the other question. I couldn't remember what you said last week.
Well, a mold inspector, or the mold standard, is 10 square feet. However, there's some carve-outs in the law. One of them is a homeowner can do whatever they want inside their house. They just do what they want, and they take care of it. Property managers, property owners, they all have that disclosure carve-out in the law. However, what it doesn't do if it's more than 10 square feet is preclude you from doing it wrong. And I guess we'll have to talk about that next week, because it looks like we ran out of time. Or give me a call at my office, and I'll chat with you. 585-773-4001.
Andrew Short, Premium Mortgage, 716-430-8360.
Jeff Schofield, Rochester's biggest realtor, 600-JEFF.